a blessing to me to be among those of Life Precious Faith, and we thank you for being here, especially those that are visiting with us. We thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. Before we get into the lesson, I want to remind those that are working on this upcoming sermon, hopefully the third week of November, the young and the older alike that are having a hand in that, that if you haven't got your second scripture for your point, to please be getting that to me after service, or text it to me early afternoon so I can get you a completed outline this evening. We won't meet this evening because the men will be meeting at 5 o'clock, and so we won't have time to meet and to do any work on that. So just get that second scripture to me for your point. I'd appreciate that. And that way, Lord willing, this evening I can give you a completed outline with your points and your subpoints on it, your references. Looking forward to doing that. I know the congregation is looking forward to hearing these young men and older ones alike participate in that. Have you anything misplaced? Probably most of us have experienced misplacing things, losing things. I know I have. I could probably top you the number of times that I've misplaced things because I put them maybe in a place that's not their usual place of putting. So as a result of that, I'm wasting a lot of time trying to find things, it seems like, trying to be in a hurry, get where I'm going, but I'm slowed down because I've got to find something that I've misplaced. Maybe my keys, or my wallet, or my flash drive, whatever the case may be. And so I'm thankful for Tracy that her remember works better than mine. It certainly works a lot better than mine, and having to remind me of where I've put things. We've all experienced that, so I'm asking the question this morning, have you anything misplaced? Are there some things along the way that you've not put in their proper place? We've all experienced that in our religious world today. Folks have misplaced a number of things. Oh, they may do a lot of things, and maybe for reasons that they think are for the right reasons. But they just simply don't many times know what the Bible says about whatever the case may be, and as a result of that, they misplaced some things, got some things out of order, misdirected some things. And so I want us to think about some things that can be misdirected, some things that can be misplaced. And we may be guilty of this from time to time if we're not careful. And the first one that I want you to think about is that though it is important for us to have zeal, it can be misplaced. We can have zeal, we can have enthusiasm, we can be motivated, but yet not for the right things. And it's evident in the religious world we live in that there's a lot of people that are many times zealous, but it's not for the right things, and we need to think about that. Call your mind to attention over to the book of Galatians chapter 1. When Paul is talking about the fact that he was zealous, Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, he said, "For ye have heard of my conversation or conduct in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, tried to destroy it." But he said, verse 14, "and profited in the Jews' religion, above many my equals in my own nation." Now watch it. "Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." He was zealous for the tradition of his fathers, zealous for the things that he was involved in, but it was misplaced, it was misdirected, it wasn't for the right thing. And that's pointed out, as he says, that I tried to make havoc or destroy the church of God, tried to waste it. I think about when Paul talked about his kinsmen, about Israel in Romans chapter 10. When he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of righteousness, or the end of the law, for righteousness to them that believe." Romans 10, verses 1 through 4. And so they were zealous, but they weren't saved. And so we've got to make sure that though we have zeal, that it's not misdirected. It's not misplaced. There's a number of things the Bible points out that we are to be zealous for. Like in the book of Titus chapter 2 and then verse 14 when he talks about Christ and he says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. You know the rest of that? Zealous unto good works. We need to be zealous unto good works. And I pointed out last week to you that the Bible is the standard that informs us of what God considers to be a good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We've got to be zealous toward repentance. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, God said, those whom I love I rebuke and chasten. Be thou therefore zealous and repent. And we've got to be zealous toward one another. Now think about what Paul stated concerning a man by the name of Epaphras over in the book of Colossians chapter 4. Now notice what the Bible says concerning this man in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 beginning. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Now notice he says that this man was one of them. Saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. So here's an individual whom Paul bore record and said that he has a zeal of you, and not for you only, but for others. So I ask you, do you have zeal for the right things, for the right reasons, or have you misplaced it? When you think about the question, have you anything misplaced? I think about what the Bible says concerning love. Love can be misplaced. It can be misdirected, put toward the wrong things, like in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15. Love not this world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It doesn't mean that we can't appreciate what God has done for us, what God has provided for us, what God has created. But don't love physical things above spiritual things. Don't be entangled in worldly things, sinful things. That's not right. And I'm sure you're aware of that. Don't misplace your love. You can misplace it when you place your love on family relationships higher than you do on your love of God. It's the Lord who said, as stated in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. It didn't stop there. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, we know we're to love our family and to provide for our family, men. Take care of them. Fulfill those roles within the family. But we cannot love our family, our spouse, or our children higher, more than we do the Lord. If we do, it's misplaced. But also one's life. In the book of John chapter 12 and in verse 25, John 12, 25, the Lord very simply stated in this passage, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Would you be willing to die for the cause of Christ? I hope we're never called upon to do that, but would we be willing to do that? Do we feel like we're strong enough to love the Lord more so than our very existence in this earthly pilgrimage? Then the love of money, 1 Timothy 6:2. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and then verse 10. But there are some things that we are to love. We have misplaced love, misdirected love, but the Bible calls upon us to love several things. For example, we're to love God. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 19, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And we're to love the Son. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 verse 15. And down in verse 23, the Lord said, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So we're to love the Father, and we're to love the Son, and we're to love one another. Look around the room. Can you genuinely say that you love those who are present this morning? Can you? Don't answer out loud. But I hope that you can. I hope that we each can say that we love one another. This is the commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another. John 15, verse 12. And as Peter simply pointed out in 1 Peter 2:17, love the brotherhood. Do you? Do you love the brotherhood? Where is your love misplaced? If you don't love the brethren, you need to work on that. Same holds true for me. But our love toward brethren or toward others isn't to stop with just our brethren. If we do, then we're not complete. If we do, then we're not like our Father which is in heaven. If we just love the brethren and not love others, if we just love those that do good to us and don't love those who do not do good to us, well, then we're not like our Father. And that's pointed out when Jesus gave the mountain message in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, but specifically as it relates to what I'm talking now in Matthew chapter 5. And in verse 43 beginning, when Jesus pointed out, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. You see, that won't do. Jesus said, you've heard that. You've heard people saying to talking, make the comment, in other words, love your neighbor but hate your enemy. Jesus said, but I say unto you, the source of authority, the standard of authority, the buck stops there, as it were. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now watch this, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Well, what does that have to do with our Father which is in heaven? Now, if you ever want a commentary on verse 48, we're getting ready to read. Here it is. The context, the Bible is its best commentary. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. And he goes and expounds on that a little bit more. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not publicans so? Now watch verse 48. Here's the conclusion of what he's just stated. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Some have asked a question before. What does it mean when he says in verse 48, to be perfect like God is perfect? Well, in a very simple way to say it, be like God is. How is God? His love is not partial in that he just loves the saved and not the lost, but he loves all. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us. Romans 5, verse 8. Loves all man, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. 2 Peter 3, 9. He loves all. John 3, 16. A host of other passages talk about that. So you have the love. I need to have the love, like our Heavenly Father has, where we love all. You see that? If you don't, then you've got misplaced love, misdirected. It's not as it should. But also as we think about, have you anything misplaced? We could have misplaced actions. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, those people in that passage have been engaged in religious activities, but it will be declared unto them, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Are you workers of iniquity? That means lawlessness. They did it without the authority of Christ. Worship can be misdirected, misplaced. A lot of folks are gathered today on Sunday, maybe with good intentions, and they're worshiping But it's to no avail. Our worship needs to be according to the book, according to truth, with the right attitude, according as His Word has directed, John 4 and 10 verse 24, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You get together and you do things, teaching for the doctrines, commandments of men, then your worship is going to be to no avail, Matthew 15, 9. If you try to worship God without the knowledge of the book, then it'll be like those of Athens, as stated in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, that they ignorantly were worshiping Him. Whom ye therefore ignorantly worship Him, declare unto you, Paul said. And if you try to worship God according to the way that you want it done, then you'll be involved in will worship, Colossians chapter 2 and then verse 23. Don't misplace your actions. Do all by the authority of Christ, Colossians 3, 17. Always ask that question as Paul penned in Romans 4 and then verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Misplaced actions. But also I want us to think about some misplaced loyalty. Some people's loyalty is not where it ought to be. It's to men as opposed to God. You ever wonder why so many people find it very difficult to come out of churches of men? Because they have misplaced loyalty. They're following some preacher, or some tradition, or some family member, or what they've always done as opposed to following what the Bible says. That's why individuals make statements like, I know it says that, but I just don't see it that way. I know that's what God says, but we like it the other way. As one man once remarked when it came to mechanical instrumental music and the worship. It's misplaced. Their loyalty is not where it ought to be. In Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, got to make our choice. Pick which one we are going to be loyal to. The Scripture reading. Appreciate Ethan doing a great job as he did on that Scripture reading. Matthew 6, 33, was it Ethan? Okay, thank you. Matthew 6, verse 33. I didn't want to give your brothers credit for something you did. You may not like that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be provided unto you. But also desires. You can have misplaced loyalty, but you can have some desires that are misplaced. Trying to do things because of what others might think about it. I hope I'm convinced I am to a group of people that are here this morning because they wanted to serve the Lord. And not because they wanted to please men, right? Beware the scribes, the Lord said in Luke 20, verse 46. Beware the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and have greetings in the markets and the high seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. Doing things to be seen of others. They were involved in that. Those of Galatia, Galatians chapter 4, and then verse 9, when they were having some problems, trying to go back and to serve God under the weak and beggarly elements of the Old Testament law of Moses. And Paul addressed that when he stated in Galatians chapter 4 and then verse 9, but now, after they have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire to again be in bondage. Had a desire to be entangled in those things that were of past the Old Testament law of Moses. It was misplaced. Their loyalty should have been this side of the cross, to the authority and standard of Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, for do I now seek to persuade men? Or to please men or God? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ. Don't misdirect or misplace your desire. But there are some things that we are to desire. Paul stated in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, I'm in a strait between two. Ever heard the saying, a rock in a hard place? Paul says, I'm in a strait between two. King James Version says, betwixt. having a desire to depart and to go be with the Lord, to be with Christ, which is far better. But the next verse says, to be alive, remain, is more profitable unto you. But I desire to be with the Lord, is what he's saying. Do you desire to be with the Lord? And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. Do we have some among us desiring to do that and make every effort to strive to be in a position to be able to meet those qualifications? I hope that we do. In Hebrews 11 and in verse 16, somebody had talked about, he said, but now they desire a heavenly country. You see, one that is better, made without hands, that God hath prepared for them. Do you have that desire? I hope you do. I enjoy life, many things in life. Some things in life I don't enjoy. But there are many things that I do enjoy. But to depart and to be with the Lord is far better than to be in this life. Though we can have benefit to others while here. But again, have you anything misplaced? What about misplaced treasures? Matthew 6, 19 through 21. When the Lord simply but firmly said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Where moth and rust are not going to corrupt and where thieves are not going to break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Folks, don't get so entangled in this world that you misplace your treasures. You know where your heart is, and I do too, and the Lord does. He knows the hearts of every man, Acts chapter 1 points out. Don't misplace your treasures. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Because the things seen, the tangible things, are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. One more point. Don't misplace your fear. Fear many times is perhaps a natural emotion. Don't let your fear be misplaced. You can have fear of man in general. Maybe a lot of things that you might fear. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, fear not them which are able to destroy the body, and then they have no power after that. In other words, they can kill you, they can take your life, but that's all they can do. But he said, rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear God, not man. In Revelation 21:8, where there's a number of things, I think there's about eight things in that passage that are pointed out, categories of individuals who will be cast in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which the Bible says is the second death in that text. You know what is heading off the list? He talks about murderers and sorcerers and idolaters and adulterers. You know what's heading off the list? Very first one on the list. He says, but the fearful. Fear can keep you from doing things if you let it. Doing things that you ought to do. Give you two good examples of that in the book of John, chapter 1 and chapter 7, 1 and chapter 9. In John chapter 7, the Bible says, we're going to start with verse 10. But when the brethren, when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Now watch verse 13. Now what I want you to think before we read verse 13 about verse 12. There was a division of the people. While some were saying that he is a good man, others were saying, no, he's deceiving the people. Now you would think that those who said that he was a good man would speak up. That's what they believed, that he was a good man. Indeed he was. Now watch verse 13. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Would you have spoke openly of him though you believed he was a good man? They did it. Then over in the book of John, chapter 9, here was a man that the Lord gave sight to, a man that was born blind. They called his parents, and they said, verse 19, they asked them, his parents, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes, we don't know. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now watch verse 22. I wonder why they answered that way. Verse 22 tells us. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Don't fear man. Fear rather God. You agree with me? In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 31. Notice what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Have you misplaced your fear? Been fearing those that you really ought not fear? And as a result of that, you've allowed it to keep you from serving the Lord? Make correction of it. It's purpose to do better. Maybe you hear this morning, you've misplaced some things along the way. Recognize it and do something about it. You may be in this audience this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Not a Christian. You realize that and you want to do something about that. Say, preacher, how do I become a Christian? Well, you do what they did in New Testament times to become a Christian by hearing the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, believing, John 8, 24, repenting of your sins, Acts 3, 19, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and 10, verse 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've not been faithful as you should. You've turned your back on the Lord and you want to start anew. Not been faithful and you recognize that. You want to be restored. God has made provision for that. Repent of your unfaithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you as you repent of that and make confession unto God in prayer. I hope that you can say as we're about to sing, I am resolved. If so, come right now.